Welcome to Digital Plus Insights, brought to you by HCL Software, your connection to the Digital Plus economy. Each episode features intimate conversations with industry leaders, exploring the integrated technology that's shaping our world. Delve into the insights, innovations, and ideas that define the way we work, communicate, and do business. It's more than digital. It's Digital Plus. Join the conversation. The future begins today.
Hi, and welcome to the Digital Plus Insights podcast, where we talk about innovation, technology, and digital transformation, and how they're changing the way business is done. I'm Mark Durham, and I'm here with Kristen Hazelwood, Senior Vice President at HCL Software and General Manager for Big Fix. Kristen, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me today.
It's good to have you here. Kristen, you've written about the importance of automation in today's enterprise security landscape. Why is automation so important, and what role does it play in enterprise security?
Well, I first think we need to start with what's the challenge, right? The challenge is that there's more cyber threats than organizations can handle. So the natural answer is you need some way to automate to address the increase in cyber threats. You know, we're seeing increase in cyber attacks. We're seeing organizations challenged with skills, resources, funding resources. And the answer is we need some more intelligent automation to help organizations stay ahead of the cyber threats that are ever mounting out there.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. So I noticed that you had done a poll recently on LinkedIn asking who should lead the prioritization of vulnerability remediation. Can you tell me what's the backstory on that?
So first, I think it's important to note that with Big Fix, we work very regularly with organizations to help them automate and manage their endpoint estate with a key focus on building robust and resilient patching programs to stay ahead of threats. So in this role, we spend a lot of time working with IT or security teams discussing vulnerability remediation. Mm-hmm. And in many accounts that we go to, there's friction between the two teams. You go and talk to IT, there's some finger pointing towards security and vice versa, security to IT. And so really wanted to start the debate to understand how organization, you know, how do people feel about who should be leading the remediation of vulnerabilities? So wanted to start that debate. Yep.
Okay. So what do you think causes that friction between IT and security? And why do they need to work together? Why is it so important for them to work together and overcome that, I guess I want to ask.
Yeah. So why is there friction between the two teams? I think it comes down to four key points. So you look at the organization, you know, IT and security are typically in different organizations within a company, and they don't meet until you get to the C-suite level. Mm-hmm. And so you have different organizations, and human nature is, you know, or if you're in a, you know, different organizations, there's a little bit of friction there. Then you layer on, you know, we discussed how large the problem space is. So it's a very challenging problem. You have teams in different organizations, and then the teams in the different organizations have different missions and are also using different tools and speaking different languages. Now, ultimately, when you think about these two teams, neither team wants to see their company hacked, right? It's a black eye for the organization, not to mention a ton of work for both of the teams. So they do share a common goal, and they do need to collaborate to get there. But we see friction in the organization because of tooling, the size of the challenge, organizational issues. Now, why do these two teams need to come together? They need to come together because one team has the visibility and responsibility to demonstrate the cyber risk posture, that's mm-hmm. security. The IT team has the responsibility to keep the infrastructure up and running, as well as remediate the issues that security has identified for them. So the secret answer is it's a shared responsibility, but oftentimes we don't see that guidance going to the teams, and we don't see the tools and automation in place to help enable the teams to collaborate together.
So that's interesting. So how can organizations help IT and security work together better?
So I think it comes from the top down. And, you know, the board, there's a recent survey from Gartner that recognizes that 80% of boards recognize that cybersecurity is a business problem. In the past, it used to be thought of just as a security problem or an IT problem. It's a business problem. So from the top down, we need to be setting the expectation that this is critical for the business and setting shared common metrics for the teams to measure against. So don't measure activity, measure outcomes. A lot of times you'll see the security teams reporting how many vulnerabilities were found on the network when things were scanned. And then on the flip side, you'll see the IT organization reporting how many patches were deployed across how many systems. Those demonstrate activity. They don't demonstrate risk posture and outcomes. That's critical. It's critical that we, from the top down, define the importance of cybersecurity, define a common language and metrics that are going to be measured, and then provide the tools to enable the teams to really collaborate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. So you've talked in the past about MITRE and CISA as sources of threat intelligence. So when you're inputting threat intelligence into your process of vulnerability scanning, of vulnerability remediation, what sorts of information go into that? What are the forms of data and the sources of the data?
Yeah, so if you think about, so I would say that MITRE and CISA, what they do is they provide the deep research to help make it simpler for organizations to understand where the true threats are coming from. Mm-hmm. So both MITRE and CISA, they do extensive research and look at what are the current attack vectors, what are the sets of vulnerabilities and CVEs that add up to these different attack vectors. And organizations should be leveraging this information to help them determine, you know, what priority they should be deploying patches in their systems. So CISA and MITRE are extremely valuable resources to help organizations know what threats are coming, because there's so many vulnerabilities and patches and all of that information that's released on a daily basis. Organizations have a hard time keeping up with it. So MITRE and CISA really help you know where to focus.
And then you have to have those inputs so that you can prioritize effectively and make the right decisions.
Right. And that introduces kind of the next challenge, right? So you've got your, you know, who should be looking at that information, and how can we be helping organizations to, in a more automated way, leverage that information? So what we're looking at doing in Big Six and working with our clients on is bringing that rich security data into the context of the tooling that the IT team is using, and combining that with the information that we know about the endpoints from an organizational standpoint, as well as a technology standpoint, and combining all of that information into prioritized views. So you can see, you know, if I were to take this action, I could eliminate this much risk in my environment. And in that way, you're empowering your IT teams to have that security context and make smarter decisions, as opposed to waiting for security to reach out and dictate, or, you know, worst case scenario, showing up in a meeting and with a surprise list of vulnerabilities that need to be addressed. So it's bringing that rich context into the hands of the IT administrator, so he or she can make smarter decisions.
Got it. That makes a ton of sense. So that leads to another question, which is speaking of prioritization, what are the most important things for security teams and IT teams to keep in mind as they're working together? You know, where do they need to focus to make that collaboration happen smoothly?
Yeah. So I think first and foremost is recognizing that there is a shared goal and a shared mission. Even though there's separate and distinct missions, there is a shared mission to keep the organization safe and secure. And I think a lot of it can start with the basics. There's a recent report that came out that said 60% of data breaches were linked to unpatched systems where patches were available. Mm. And that's really eye-opening. I think many organizations fear the zero day And the 0 day is scary. 0 day means, right, the day of the attack is the day the vulnerability came to light.
Right.
But to me, what's more concerning is that if 60% of data breaches are things that were preventable, if IT and security had the tools to collaborate, had the means necessary to stay ahead of their patching programs, and that requires automation and collaboration in order to get to that state. So first and foremost, sometimes people, when they think of security, they get scared thinking of the 0 day or the super intelligent hacker that's going after your environment. We need to be grounded in some basics that if you take care of the basic hygiene of patching, you're 10 steps ahead, right? There's still absolutely all the other risks, but step one, secure your environment and stay current with your patching and vulnerability remediation.
So what you were describing before, it sounds like, first of all, it's critical for those two teams, those two groups within the organization to understand how damaging it can be not to collaborate effectively. That 60% of data breaches, that's a crazy number. Just the 60% of data breaches that could be prevented by patching systems promptly. Yeah. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you put yourselves in the shoe of the CISO having to stand in front of the board or shareholders and explaining why there was a breach, to have it linked back to something that a patch was available, it's a lot more challenging of a situation than, a 0 day type attack. Both are challenging to address technically, but it's less defensible if there were, patches available for months or even years. There's cases of attacks where we've seen that patches have been available for years. I think it also highlights how addressing vulnerabilities is a continuous problem. So even, let's say, Log4j vulnerability that's coming up on almost 2 years old this December, we're still seeing that exploited in the wild, right? So it's not a come in and fix it once and you're done. IT environments are constantly changing, and IT and security teams need to stay on top of those changes. So it's not just the new threats, it's the backlog of old threats that continue to pop up, potentially in environments that need to be addressed. So I also want to say, I fully acknowledge it's a complicated problem. So saying like it's disappointing that 60% of breaches are coming from systems that aren't patched, that's acknowledging that it's a challenging problem, that organizations need automation, they need AI, they need tooling to help them solve this. It's not, there is no easy button for patching and vulnerability remediation.
So it sounds like having the goodwill and having the sense of the importance of the problem and the importance of collaboration, will get you into the right posture, as an organization, but you still need the tooling, you still need the automation, you still need the AI, you still need all of those elements to actually make this stuff happen efficiently.
Absolutely. It's a lot of hard work and discipline, but tooling and automation can help make it more manageable.
Well, that's a pretty powerful message. I mean, and a very consequential message when you think about the amount of money, the amount of damage, the amount of also reputational damage that can ensue when vulnerabilities like this are exploited. It's a pretty substantial risk that organizations are taking for them not to address this at all these levels you're discussing.
Yeah. So when we see incidents, organizations have to deal with, the immediate impact of that incident, the cost of the data breach to go clean up their environments. Then they have to deal with the brand reputation, the share price impacts, and they're not trivial. And we're seeing more and more expanding into industries that, you might not expect there to be people trying to attack those industries. Recently, I was at a conference and sat next to a woman who led IT for a paper milling company. And her organization sent her to this security conference because their board sat down and figured out oh, if we got hacked and our systems were down for a week, you know, what would that cost our business? And it was a huge, huge cost, obviously. So we're seeing more and more organizations who are noticing that peers in the industry to them are getting attacked. And it's not limited to just public sector and banking and healthcare, which is where people might have kind of historically thought, right? We're seeing restaurants, home builders, manufacturing. It's every organization that has IT is potentially vulnerable.
That's really interesting, because most of the press attention goes to the financial sector, government, infrastructure, but it sounds like it's a much broader problem.
Absolutely.
Does ransomware play a big role in the broadening of that threat landscape?
Yes. So ransomware is the way that criminals are able to monetize the hacking. So in the past, the attacks would be toward, you know, getting sensitive information or just kind of causing chaos. But now that there's a way to monetize those attacks, which is what ransomware is, it's the whole reason there's, you know, cyber security insurance and all of that. There's a stronger motivation for attack hackers to go after organizations. There's a payday involved. So we see the cyber risk landscape, you know, continuing to increase. We're seeing organizations spending more than ever on securing their environments. And so that brings into question, you know, how much should you be spending on security? And I would argue that's a business risk decision. It's not a decision that the security team can make alone. It's a question of, you know, it needs to go to the board level discussion about how much risk do we want to take on as a business.
And it sounds like there's no organization out there that's immune to this problem at this point.
Yeah. The only organization that would be immune is one that has no IT. And good luck finding that, you know, that business, right?
Well, yeah, this has been a fascinating conversation, Kristen. And I'm really I'm delighted that you took the time to talk to us. I hope we can get you to come back again sometime soon. In the meantime, thank you. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to add on all of this?
So I would like to add that, you know, again, it's a huge problem. Many organizations are facing these challenges, and we should be looking towards collaboration, automation, and shared visibility and shared responsibility to help organizations address this.
It's a powerful message. Well, thank you very much for your time and for sharing all of this with us. I hope we can get you back again and look forward to that possibility.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark.
Okay, and until then, this is Mark Durham with the Digital Plus Insights podcast signing off. See you next time. Thank you.